There are nights in history that ripple forever. Nights when silence is shattered, not by words, but by gunfire. This is the story of one of those nights. A night when music was almost silenced. A night when bullets rained in place of applause. A night when the world came inches from losing Bob Marley. The warning that never came. They didn't call ahead. There were no threats. No red flags. No whisper in the wind. But something about the air that December evening in Kingston, it didn't feel right. Even the sky looked tense. The clouds hung low over 56. Hope rode like bruised skin, pregnant with the weight of something violent, something waiting. And in the marrow of every bone that ever knew danger, there was a chill that didn't belong. Bob felt it. He always did. Long before bullets, he had a kind of sight, a spiritual radar. But this time, he pushed it aside. There was work to be done. A show to prepare for. Peace to attempt. December 3, 1976. 2 days before the Smile Jamaica concert. It was supposed to be a symbol of unity in a country being pulled apart. Not a campaign event. Not an endorsement. Just a stage. Just a man with dreadlocks and a guitar, trying to calm a storm with melody. But in Jamaica, nothing was just anything. Kingston, city of fire and politics. By the mid-70s, Jamaica wasn't just a Caribbean island to the outside world. It was a geopolitical powder keg. The US was watching closely. Cuba's shadow loomed. And internally, the battle between the People's National Party, PNP, and the Jamaican Labor Party, JLP, had escalated far beyond the walls of Parliament. They were no longer just political rivals. They were warlords, armed, dangerous, and absolutely willing to sacrifice civilian lives for control. They used the ghettos like chessboards, Arnett Gardens, Tivoli, Rema. Zones were marked by bullets, and loyalty was dictated by blood. The politicians smiled on television while feeding guns to gangs in alleyways. And Bob was in the middle. Not because he asked to be, but because his voice traveled further than theirs ever could. To the youth, he was a prophet. To the poor, a champion. And to the powerful, he was a threat. That's what made the concert dangerous. Bob Marley, stepping onto a stage 2 days before a national election? That wasn't just music, it was influence. And influence, in the wrong hands, could topple empires. They couldn't afford that. The attack at 56 Hope Road. The house at 56 Hope Road was buzzing with music and movement that night. Rita Marley had just returned from errands. The Wailers were inside, rehearsing, percussion echoing off the walls like distant thunder. Don Taylor, Bob's manager, was flipping through notes in the living room. A few close friends lingered near the kitchen, drinking, talking politics, debating if the concert was even worth it anymore. Then, the lights flickered. A small sound. The soft crunch of gravel. The jolt of a gate not fully latched. It was 8:30 p.m. Then chaos. The front door burst open. Seven men. Armed. Masked. Cold. Calculated. They came in like shadows with teeth, guns already raised. There was no hesitation. No shout. Just the crack of gunfire, sharp and raw, slicing through the music like a knife through silk. Bang. 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 Bullets sprayed the living room. Don Taylor dropped to the floor, hit multiple times in the legs and back. Rita screamed, a sharp, primal sound, just before she was struck in the head. The bullet grazed her scalp, parting her hair, tearing skin, missing her brain by inches. Bob turned, instinctively shielding someone else. One bullet tore into his arm. Another grazed his chest and embedded just below his shoulder. He didn't fall. He didn't cry out. He stood, stunned, watching time stretch in front of him, watching death reach out and miss. Within 90 seconds, the attackers were gone, slipping back into the Kingston night like spirits of vengeance. The silence left behind wasn't peaceful. It was heavy, like something sacred had been shattered. Blood pooled on the floors of Hope Road. Sirens wailed in the distance, but they were late. Always late. Bob sat against the wall, hand pressed to his chest, blinking at the smoke in the air. He looked around at the bodies of his people, some moaning, some quiet, and somewhere in the back of his mind, he heard one clear note of music still playing from a speaker knocked to the floor. Survival and a decision that changed the world. The news spread like wildfire. Bob Marley shot. The headlines rippled through Jamaica, then across oceans. The US State Department got involved. Journalists flew in. The world held its breath. Would he cancel the concert? Would he leave? Would he survive? 2 days later, Marley stepped onto the stage at National Heroes Park. He was wearing a denim shirt with the sleeves rolled up, his dreadlocks pulled back, his bandages hidden under layers of conviction. 80,000 people were there. Some came for music. Others came to witness what a man looks like when he refuses to kneel. Bob lifted his guitar slowly. The crowd hushed. And then he played. War. Crazy Baldhead. Them Belly Full. Every lyric hit like a revolution. Every note tore through fear and replaced it with fire. He didn't mention the bullets. He didn't need to. At the end of the set, someone backstage whispered, "Why? Why would you do this?" And Bob answered, "The people who are trying to make this world worse aren't taking a day off. How can I?" That sentence would echo forever. The mountains and the messenger. After the concert, Bob vanished. He disappeared into the Blue Mountains with a few close friends. The air up there is cleaner, colder. The stars look different. And if you stay quiet enough, they say the hills will speak to you. For 2 weeks, Bob meditated, fasted, sat in silence, spoke to no one. He stared at the trees, the sky, the dirt under his fingernails, and something changed. When he returned to the world, it wasn't just his body that had healed. It was his spirit, his fire, his clarity. The next albums were different, more prophetic, more spiritual. Gone was the Bob who only sang about girls and ganja. In his place stood a man singing about Babylon, Zion, Jah, and the end of corrupt empires. He had faced death and come back with truth. The bullet that missed the world. They tried to kill him. They failed. But more than that, they created something immortal. That night at 56, Hope Road wasn't just an assassination attempt. It was a moment of transformation. It revealed that Bob Marley wasn't just a man. He was a mirror, a movement, a message that couldn't be silenced. And when you ask people today, from Trenchtown to Tokyo, what Bob Marley means to them, most won't mention the shooting, but they'll mention the courage. They'll mention the voice. They'll mention the day music bled and refused to die.